information not available anywhere else. Trainer and jockey stats, detailed pedigree data, exclusive brisk pace, speed, and class ratings, free memberships, free handicapping software, race entries and results, handicapper selections, and so much more. For a true picture of how the race will be run, discover BristNet.com, the official data source of the Kentucky Derby.
Well, as Sunday at Saratoga, the for sale, let me a minute, I just forgot to put my glasses on. Yeah, I didn't read this thing. Didn't bring my Braille edition. Last Sunday at Saratoga, sale for New York breds, a yearling filly by Proud Citizen sold for $220,000. A filly by Majestic Perfection went for $210,000, and a colt from the first crop by Creative Cause sold for $175,000. Proud Citizen has done extremely well at stud. Listed among his many stakes winners are two winners of the Kentucky Oaks. Majestic Perfection and his first crop sired this year's Kentucky Oaks winner, Lovely Maria, and the demand for his progeny has been strong from the beginning and remains so. Horsemen like Creative Cause because he was a superior stakes winner. He has a superb pedigree. His first foals look and act like runners. He's a grade one winner and millionaire. He's by champion sire Giants Causeway, winner of over $3 million and an emerging sire of sires, and is out of the grade one winner and millionaire. Creative Cause defeated every horse he ever raced, including the likes of Take Charge Indian, Bodemaster, and Paintner, and I'll Have Another. It's great company. It stands for Mr. and Mrs. Bird and C. Jones Airdrie Stud. See the website at airdriestud.com, and remember, the Airdrie Stallions are your key to racing profit.
From the horse capital of the world, it's Horse Tales with Ursel Ellis on Fox Sports 1580.
And down the fence they come!
We'll talk about the horses.
Oh, whirl away, pulls away.
The people.
Here comes Jim Cam down the middle of the track now.
And the history of the thoroughbred industry.
And it's Trick Material that went to play 2.5 lengths.
Now live from Kentucky's bluegrass region, here's Ursel.
Good morning, and what a glorious morning this is. Beautiful morning. And been real busy here at the Clocker Stand out on the Thoroughbred Center and on Paris Pike. And I think she's got
one page.
That would be about 36 works already this morning.
Yeah, yeah, she'll have more.
Yeah, it's break time right now, so all is quiet. But the shoo-shoo will hit the fan in about a half an hour.
All right.
And one of us will probably, Jackie, one of us is probably, you all right? Okay, one of us is probably going to have to get up and she was making a face at me for some reason. And give
it's
her a hand.
It's just second nature.
Okay. Anyway, well, what are we going to do today? Good morning, young man. How are you?
Yeah, that's the new assistant clocker.
Oh, got a new assistant clocker? Yeah, there we go.
How old are you?
Carolyn Walsh is going to come on at about the top of the hour. She is a graduate of the Darley Flying Start program, and she now works over at Windstar Farm with the stallions over there. And she's much traveled. I'm going to talk to her a little bit about that. She's from Ireland to begin with, but last couple of weeks I've been trying to get her on a show for about 3 weeks now, because she's finally... The dust has settled. She went to the Haskell. She went to Saratoga. Then she went up for the Arlington Million last week. So she doesn't miss much, does she? That must be a great place to work over at Windstar Farm. Send them up there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I assume they sent her. Paying her way, I'll find her. I'll ask her.
Sure. I mean, if I was a graduate of the Darley Flying Start, they'd send me too.
Yeah. Well, that's the...
That's the
great outfit out there. Michael Blowen will be here this morning. I think that Dr. Walridge is back playing vet down at Ellis Park today. I don't believe he's here this morning.
Did you talk to Michael?
Did I talk to Michael?
Yeah. There was one day he wasn't coming in. He was going to a big race somewhere.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, well, I don't know. Maybe it's just you and I and Ressie here.
Hot diggity that little kid that's learning to clock.
We can get Susie down here. Susie, knock off clocking and come over here and get on the show.
Yeah.
She would love to, I'll tell you what.
Yeah, I'll let Matt handle it.
I remember, there you go.
Telling to show up.
I remember back when I was clocking and days like this, you know, doing the break and just about 5 minutes before they opened the track again. my stomach would start to tighten up a little bit.
Yeah.
And say, oh, God, I need help. Anyway.
Exactly.
All right. Well, anyway, somebody will show up here, I guess. If not, well, we'll do a show without him. Steve Moody, I know, is in town, so we're all right there. See,
good.
Yeah, he does the Saratoga handicapping sheet, and they're running the Alabama today, which is a Philly classic up there, and it's got a pretty good field of Phillies in there as far as that goes. They also run in the Monmouth Oaks today at Monmouth Park. Where else would they run it? And that's another old stake. They first ran it back in 1871. A filly named Selena won it. But they discontinued it, and they didn't get back to it until 1893. And then it started. That's when they discontinued it, and then it started again in 1946. So well, there was a big gap in the Monmouth Oaks. Boy, there have been some good winners. The 46 winner was a filly named Dorothy Brown, by the way.
Who
she belonged to Mrs. Joe W. Brown. I guess they named it.
Yeah.
I wonder if her name was Dorothy.
I don't know. Maybe a kid named Dorothy.
I don't know. I tell you where her farm was. It was right on the corner of the north. It would be the northeast corner of Bryan Station Road and the bypass. Had a big white frame house sitting back up on the hill there.
Ah.
She bred some nice horses. Bobby Bricado, she bred, was a superior top. Well, Dorothy Brown was a great producer. She threw two really nice stakes winners for them. In fact, they still run named the stakes down at the fairgrounds after Tenacious. They run a Tenacious handicap down there every year. And Tenacious and Gigantic. And that was Michael just called, checked in, said he's on the way.
Yeah.
Okay. And they were both really tough, hard-hitting stakes. Both of them, incidentally, were by Chaladon. Chaladon was a champion three-year-old colt in 1939. Maryland bred. He was the first Maryland bred to win the Preakness in 50 years. And he was a champion, again, as a four-year-old, bred by W.L. Braun and Robert Castle, who had imported his sire, Challenger II, who stood him up. They stood him up in Maryland. Challenger was not just a so-so racehorse over in England, but it was a very good sire based up in Maryland. He ranked twice, I think he was ranked number one in 1939. That was Chaladon's year. He also sired Gallarette, who was the best race mare ever to come out of Maryland, one of the all-time greats. Challenge Me, Bridal Flower. He was a challenger, was by Swinford, who was a St. Ledger winner. And he was a sire also of St. Germans and Blandford. And, you know, it was a really nice kind of a pedigree. Chaladon went to, he was a really top, as I said, a champion three-year-old. At the end of his four-year-old season, he had run 28 times with 18 wins, 3 seconds and 4/3. And then they kept him going at 5 and 6, and they shouldn't have because they tarnished his record. He just won two more races at 5 and 6, didn't win any stakes, but as a three-year-old, he'd won the Preakness and the Arlington Classic and the Hollywood Gold Cup, Hawthorne Gold Cup, and the Pimlico Futurity, and the Maryland Futurity, New England Futurity. I think he was two-time winner of the Pimlico Cup, and he'd ran second in the Kentucky Derby to who was here? What year was that? Johnstown. And so he went to stud for stud fee of $500 over at Gallagher Farm. That was Ira Dryman had Gallagher Farm. That is this Victory Haven Training Center over there now. That was Gallagher Farm. And that's where he went to stud. And he sired some pretty good stakes winners, too. Besides Gigantic and Tenacious, he sired Donars, Enough to Another, Tough Old Gilding. Horse that I remember real well, at a sire named Shy Guy, won the Futurity out of Keeneland as a two-year-old, and then he went on and won a bunch of other stakes after that out of a mare named Tootsie Cake by High Time. Dixiana bred, that's the reason I remember him so well. He also sired a Kentucky Oaks winner in Chal Ann, had a champion Steeplechaser and Ancestor, And he was a broodmare sire of fun loving, for one, won the coaching club of American Oaks. And it was, you know, it was a nice kind of a stud horse. The Monmouth Oaks winners, First Flight race for Miss C.V. Whitney, Grecian Queen, Misty Morn, Levy, A Glitter for Calumet, Royal Native, Firm Policy, and Lamb Chop, and Summer Scandal, and Dark Mirage, and Gallant Bloom. She was a undefeated champion, 3-0 filly of her year by Gallant Man. Silver Bullet Day also won it, of course, 1999. Spain won it, filly by Thunder Gulch. All righty, well, let me see where I'm going here now, and we'll take a look at a couple of commercials here. One on August 15th at Saratoga, the Grade 2 $500,000 four-star Dave handicap was won by Grand Arch, son of Arch. Then on August 16th, Terrace, a daughter of Flatter, won the Grade 3 Rancho Bonato out of Del Mar. Grand Arch, $120,000 sales yearling, has earned over $1 million now. Arch is sire 10 Grade 1 winners, 4 champions, and he's a great source of stamina. Terrace has won 5 of his 7 starts. The Rancho Bernardo was her first start this year. Last year, as a 3-year-old, she won Keenan's Grade 2 Raven Run. She won the stakes up at Laurel, the Wide Country, I believe it was, and was second in the Grade 1 La Brea out at Santa Anita. She was bred by Claiborne Farm and Adele Dillschneider and sold as a yearling for $90,000. Then she was sold last fall at Fasig Tipton for $2,350,000. That's what a good race record will do for you. Flatter sired another stakes winner last weekend when Lucy's Bob Boy won the Frank Gale Memorial. Now, he's earned over $969,000. Now, both Arch and Flatter stand at Claiborne Farm. Inquiries to Bernie Sams at 859-233-4252. And take a look at the website at ClaibornFarm.com.
Ursula and I moved to Bourbon County going on 30 years ago. We weren't too happy with the company in Lexington that had been carrying our insurance, so we thought it would be a good idea to go local in Paris. It was a great decision. We asked around, and the name that kept coming up was the Hopewell Company. The Hopewell Company is an independent insurance agency. They don't work for an insurance company. They work for you. And they represent a carefully selected group of financially sound, reputable companies that offer the best coverage at competitive prices. Folks at Hopewell are prepared to provide you with a no-cost, no-obligation review and comparison of your insurance. They cover everything for us. House, cars, barns, trucks, farm equipment, liability, you name it. Give them a call. That's the Hopewell Company, Joe or Ted McLean, 987-2347, or stop by the office at 820 Main Street in Paris. They'll do a great job for you. We guarantee it.
Well, here are a couple of names to remember in the horse business. One is the Clay Ward Agency, and the other is Indian Creek. Now, the Clay Ward Agency was founded back in 1931 by Mr. James Clay Ward. And ever since, they've been providing the finest in equine insurance for, that's over 80 years ago. And their success, and it was hard to be successful back during the Depression and back in the 1930s, but their success was based on hard work, attention to detail, great service, and a thorough knowledge of the horse business. Those qualities are still carried on today at the Clay Ward Agency. For whatever your insurance needs, if it pertains to the thoroughbred, and the pros at the Clay Ward Agency are in a great position to supply the best coverage at the best price available. What you need to do is give them a call. The number is 987-1861. That's 859-987-1861. Talk to Shaq Parrish or Bruce Isaacs or John Hess. Or you can stop by the office on Main Street in Paris. It's 1102 Main Street in Paris, Kentucky, on the right as you're going down. Also, ask about the services available at Indian Creek. Great place to board your horses. Great place to have your sales prep done. They raise so many major stakes winners there, you can't keep track of them. Stakes winners both here and abroad. A lot of their customers are from overseas. And Indian Creek has raised and boarded and sold many of the world's finest thoroughbreds. And here's how you get in touch with Indian Creek. I would go to their website, which is IndianCreekKY.com. or you can call the farm. And the number over there is, if I can find it here, I wrote it down. Okay. Oh, 987-7443. Golly, Ursula. 859-987-4443. And ask for Shaq Parrish or Nikki Dryan. And once again, that's the Clayward Agency and Indian Creek. Two names you should know about in the if you're in the horse business.
You're listening to Horse Tales with Ursula Lele.
All righty. Well, let's look at some of the winners from the Thoroughbred Center since last week's show, and we've had a passel of them. We went down to see one of them, didn't we? We went finally got down to Belterra. I'd never been down there since it was they changed it from River Downs to Belterra.
You're talking about the temperature, it's hell, Tara.
But it's hotter still River Downs to me.
Yeah, me too.
I've been here for 9 years.
Oh. Yeah. Well, that's true, but that was Matt Howard, by the way. He wanders in every morning. He gets lost and come over here.
No, it's really hot, but it's fine. I think the track is more narrow, seems to me. I don't know if that's true or not, but
I don't know.
I
that grandstand,
spend a lot of time in the stands.
The grandstand, you sit up a little higher than the old grandstand, I think.
Yeah, might be.
At least, maybe that's... Seemed like those steps were a lot steeper than they used to be. might have something to do with my age.
Yeah, but I have one whiny complaint.
Go ahead and whine. I'm used to it.
Thank you. Good man. When you're on the skirt.
Anybody I know?
Oh, stop. Anyway, let's clarify that. From the rail to the grandstand, you go up. You can't go under the grandstand. That used to be open under the grandstand.
Yeah.
It was wide open. You had a feeling it was bigger.
Yeah.
This is all blocked off. I'm not sure.
Well, they have gaps where you can get under.
Gaps, but it's not, you know, you feel like you're sitting on a box.
Well, the first thing you do when you pull in, you used to go past the stands and pull in and get free parking
right down
there. Well, the parking's still free. But, you know, they've got the casino down there now. I don't know if I don't know if it's casino. What is it, Matt? Have you been in there, haven't you, Matt?
No, I did not go. It's all casino, though.
Is it?
There's the underground parking, the valet parking. I saw that. And then the casino above it. But where the parking, where we used to always park, past the grandstand, it's still there. But they took a lot of it away because they moved the whole grandstand. They moved the track.
Yeah, and a lot of the employees park.
So they say it's filled up, so now you have to walk a mile to get to the track.
Yeah.
It seems like.
So, yeah, it did seem like.
When I'm walking with you two and my two kids, it was hard.
Yeah.
There you go. Exactly.
I think the kids were a little more fit than we were.
But then you had to wait by the saddling.
But, you know, it was the parking lot was jammed full.
Yeah.
I mean, there must have been how many cars parked there? 2,000?
Yeah.
Easy.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh.
And then, you know, and you go through the casino, and I guess they're all inside there. But then when you hit the, go to the paddock, and you have to cross over the paddock to get to the grandstand. It was a nice crowd. It was a good crowd.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, but we went down there to see Dr. Walridge's filly
run. Yeah, she
and
won.
She won.
You know what? We're not going to get donuts. He's not even in town.
Oh,
he owes us donuts.
Well, Tim Wilson is the trainer of that cheapskate. He ought to come over there with some donuts.
We'll hit Michael up when he gets here. Is he going to be here?
He didn't even go. He said he was going. Yeah, he's on his way. You know, Michael, he wanders. You know, tell him where he is. Stopped at the Jot 'em Down store or something. But well, anyway, last week, besides what was the name of that filly? Love Me Do.
Yeah.
Tim Wilson trained it, and we. Golly, there must have been 50 people in the winner circle. I don't know. But, where'd they all come from, you know? I mean,
that was fun.
Yeah. But
everybody in their kin was there. That's why.
Yeah. Well, you have been groped by Jamie Bruin.
I know it. I bet they airbrushed that out of that wind.
You were Jamie.
The two of us.
Oh, goodness. All right, well, who else saddle winners from here last week? Juan Rubalcaba. Matt Frazier had a quarter horse win up at Indiana Downs. I love the name of that quarter horse, Chill Six Pack. Yeah, he's a pretty good one too, isn't he, Matt?
Yeah, yeah. And his sire is actually six-pack Corona, and he's by Corona Cartel.
Which means something if you're in a quarter horse.
It doesn't
very much so.
Doesn't mean
Corona Cartel.
Doesn't mean diddly squat to me, but okay. Let's see, Laura Beamer had one at Mountaineer. Tommy Short had another one at Mountaineer. Tommy's having a good year. Maria Pinzon, she does very well. Another one, she at Mountaineer. Pavel Mateshka, up at Indiana Downs. Let's see, Marco Castaneda, he used to ride races. One at Mountaineer, another one at Indiana Downs. Chuck Hamilton. Then yesterday was the 21st, wasn't it?
Yes. Yeah.
Paul Garcia had one at Belterra, and Luis Prado at Indiana Downs. Everybody, I think the name they call, everybody calls him Louis. No, Louis. I don't know. He's got a nickname. I forget what it is now, but Luis will do. All righty. Keeping right on going. Stakes races today. What'd I do with my list? Bunch of graded stakes today. Of course, the big one out west is the Pacific Classic, and it has drawn a field of 11. Class leader, Bailout Bobby, Bayern is in it. Hard Acres, Red Vine, Imperative, Catch a Flight, Opportunity, Beholder. The filly's taking on the boys now. I guess she's 5 years old. I guess she's a mare now. And Midnight Storm. Let's see. Everything's 124 except Beholder. She gets in with a 5-pound sex allowance with 119 pounds. So that'd be interesting. Well, what's the post time for that? Good Lord, Gertrude. It's almost past my bedtime. 9:10. How about that? 9:10 for the Pacific.
Oh,
Classic.
I missed it by 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Son of a gun.
Oh, well. Then it's the Alabama. And Danette is in it. Got the rail. Curalina. Lovely Maria. The Kentucky Oaks winner. That's Bronxbury Jones and Majestic Perfection. I'm a Chatterbox. Daughter of Munnings is trained. Larry Jones trains both Lovely Maria and I'm a Chatterbox. And let's see who else is in there. Embellish the Lace, Include Betty. She's going to be dangerous in there today. And Sweetgrass. I've had $2. If I had $2, Jackie loaned me $2, I'd bet on Include Betty.
If I had it, it would be yours.
Okay. Also, let's see, Del Mar today, the O'Brien, the Pat O'Brien Stakes. It's a grade two race, a field of 5. On the outside is that nice flatter colt, Kobe's Back. The Del Mar Handicap, grade two race, on a field of 9. The Arlington, Washington Futurity. I don't wonder why they still call it the Arlington, Washington Futurity. Because used to be when they ran at Washington Park, it was the Arlington Futurity, and then they had the Washington Park Futurity.
Well, they put them together.
And they put them together.
Here.
I guess just for the history's sake, you know. But anyway, it's a big field of 13. 2-year-olds going in that one. Let's see what else we got. The Monmouth Oaks. We were talking about that, and it goes today, a grade 3 race. And the Ontario Colleen Stakes, a grade 3 race. So, okay, they're getting ready to brace themselves. I think Jackie going out to help clock. Good morning, Michael.
Morning, Ursel.
About time you got here.
Hey, listen, I slept late today.
Did you really?
No, I had to cut up the extra carrots for Silver Charm. I can't leave until my duties are performed.
Extra carrots for Silver Charm?
Mm-hmm.
Do I detect a little bias there?
Yes. You know, when I was growing up with my sister, my parents always used to say, we like you both the same, but that's not true.
Surely to God, they liked your sister better.
Well, my father liked my sister better, and my mother liked me better.
Well,
that's the way it works. Unfortunately for my sister, my father died before my mother, so I got a few extra years of special treatment.
Ah, okay. Well, I wonder what spoiled. I thought maybe it was Diane who was spoiling you.
Oh yeah, she does too.
Yeah,
get in line. I love getting spoiled for an old bald guy.
Yeah. Well, what's going on over at Old Friends?
Well, we're having a great time. I mean, we had a lot of really great visitors lately. Art Antrim.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Art came out with his family and his wife and and some friends, and we had a great time. It's really nice showing people around that know what they're looking at.
Yeah, that's good.
And Willenda and Hidden Lake got their acupuncture treatments yesterday. Every Friday they get their acupuncture treatments, so that was interesting. And then, of course, today they've got the Alabama up at Saratoga, and Baron Jones has a couple of nice fillies in there.
I wonder if surely he went up there.
Yes, he did.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. You would know.
Well, he was going because he called me and told me that if she wins, there's going to be a significant check for Old Friends.
Oh, my.
If either of them wins. So I'm very excited about that. The last time when lovely Maria won the Ashland, Baron Jones donated $20,000 to Old Friends. Yeah.
What about when she won the Oaks?
Yeah, we got some then, too.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, yeah. He's
big supporter.
Oh, huge. It's really, really great. And then, let's see, September 5th, they open up at Kentucky Downs, and September 16th is Old Friends Stakes Day. Mm-hmm. Tribute Feed is sponsoring the race to the tune of $5,000 for us, so that's really nice.
Who's that?
Tribute Feed.
Tribute Feed.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And so that's really nice. They're going to, you know, John Cugay is going to come, and Billy Turner, and Rosie Napravnik will be signing things. Corey Johnson, of course, runs the facility, and now we have an Old Friends branch down there with five retirees down at Kentucky Downs. They're putting up a big tent for us with tables, and it's going to be catered and a bar and mutual clerks and everything. So for $50, you can eat and drink and have some fun and listen to some handicappers and have a great day at the races at Kentucky Downs September 16th. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
You can pay when you get there. Yeah, sure. Right. Pay anytime you want. I went down and gave a talk. Let's see if I have my certificate with me today. I went down and gave.
You have to have a certificate to talk.
No, but
I was a little worried about this.
No, it's a different certificate. It's a gift certificate. But I went down and had the opportunity. We had a special ribbon cutting for the Old Friends facility last week at Kentucky Downs. There was about 60 or 70 people came from the local Chamber of Commerce. The mayor was there. It was really, really very nice. Yeah. And I had to give a little talk. I told Diane, from now on, when I'm giving a talk, if anybody donates a dollar to Old Friends, is the only way to get me to shut up. Give me a dollar, I'll be quiet.
Yeah.
Anyway, I gave a little talk, and then afterwards, this really nice gentleman came over, the guy who owns the local Frosty Freeze. And it's been in his family, the local Frosty Freeze has been in his family for 54 years.
Wow.
Nice. Right? It's a great little place. And he gave me a gift certificate for $2.50 for an ice cream cone. So I came home to Diane. She goes, it seems that your speech was worth every penny.
She knows how to get to it, doesn't she?
Yes, she does. Yes, she does.
All righty. Let me interrupt you a minute and catch up on my commercial.
It'll cost you a dollar.
All right. Doesn't work that way here. Well, last Saturday at Arlington, the grade $300,000 pucker-up stakes was won by Ms. Money, a 3-0 filly, another Mizzen Mass. Ms. Money displayed the tenacity typical of the progeny of Mizzen Mass to defeat a field of 10 well-bred fillies, winning at the direct expense of the 1-3 finishers in the Grade 3 Regret Stakes at Churchill, with others sired by the likes of Giants Causeway and Congrats, and Candy Ride and Pulpit and Kitten's Joy in the beaten field. Now, Ms. Money won the Lacombe Memorial at the fairgrounds earlier this year. Bred by Bernie Flint and Ron Hillrich, Ms. Money is a full sister to One Mean Man, a 2-year-old colt that won his first time out in a maiden special at Ellis Park, won by 3.5 lengths. I believe he's in that Arlington Futurity today. I don't know. Anyway, of course, Mizzen Mass has sired 7 Grade 1 winners. The winners of 3 Breeders' Cup races, a champion 2-year-old filly that the next year won a French Classic at 3, and then the winners of Grade 1 races at distances from 6 furlongs to 10 furlongs. That's pretty versatile. And they went on every conceivable type of racing service. Now, Mizzen Mass stands at Judmont Farm. Inquiries to Garrett O'Rourke and Fry, and see the website at judmont.com. The number over there, incidentally, is 859-272-7620. 29th. Give them a call.
Everyone in the racehorse business knows about Sally Van Service. They've been in the business for more than 6 decades. The number of breeding trips made runs into the millions, and many of the finest thoroughbreds in the world have enjoyed a safe trip on a Sally Van. But did you know they can also service your diesel at Sally Vans, or for that matter, take care of your trailer too? It's that time of year. You always want to get it serviced in the fall because you don't use it as much through the winter. So give them a call, 859-255-9406. They're conveniently located in Lexington. When it comes to moving your horse, you can depend that a Sally Van is in tip-top condition, and the person behind the wheel is an experienced driver and an experienced horseman, and that's why, for over 60 years, a Sally Van has been the safest way to the winner's circle.
Well, I was wrong about that mizzen mast, but he's got one in the Del Mar Handicap and also in the Monmouth Oaks today, but not in the Arlington Washington Pituitary. Well, Bellamy Road has demonstrated his ability to sire major stakes winners. His Sisterly Love earned a Sovereign Award in Canada and also won the Grade 3 Double Dog Dare Stakes right out of Keenan. Toby's Corner won the Grade 1 Wood Memorial, Position Limit, the Grade 2 Adirondack, all squared away, won the Grade 3 Lexington Stakes. Victoria Wildcat won the Grade 3 Eight Bells. Georgia's Angel won the Grade 3 Skylerville, and he has sired as many as 12 stakes winners in a single crop. Moved to Windstar Farm, his best are yet to come. He has no less than 112 well-bred two-year-olds of 2015 going for him. On August 9th, one of those two-year-olds, this was at Saratoga, a filly, Constellation, she was an $800,000 graduate of the OBS March sale, earned rising star status with an impressive score in her debut. 2 days later, Tiondo turned in a big win at Saratoga, those following an impressive win by Land Oversea at Del Mar. Bellamy Road, a proven sire of graded stakes winners, and the best is yet to come. Grade 1 winner himself, Bellamy Road, stands at Windstar Farm. Watch for his yearlings at the upcoming sales. And for more information, call Kyle Wilson, Sean Tugler, or Carolyn Walsh at 859-873-1717. See the website, windstarfarm.com.
Now, back to the Thoroughbred Training Center in Ursulelis.
All righty, that's that. About to start up out there. Are they stacking up over to Gap yet? Can you see them over there, Michael?
Yeah, not too much. There's a few over there. I'd say three or four.
They got two or three minutes. Yeah, they got them coming off the lower track still.
Oh, okay. That'll do it.
I told Michael that if he sees Doc before we do, he owes us donuts for that Phillies win.
Yeah, well, not only that, that tightwad Tim Wilson could buy donuts, too.
Yeah. Nothing wrong with his wallet.
Hey, how come you couldn't make
it shut?
How come you couldn't make it down? You missed it.
Because we had a very busy 3 o'clock tour.
Oh. Okay.
And I was forced into duty.
Yeah.
I'm always the backup for everything. I'm backup to get the ice, backup to get the carrots, backup to do the tours, backup to answer the phone, backup.
Yeah, well, that's...
So this was backup tour day, but I'm really sorry I missed it because...
It was exciting.
I did get to see it on TV.
Oh, you did?
Yeah,
you did.
I snuck over to the simulcast and
home.
Yeah. So that was nice. Yeah.
Well, there wasn't room for you in the winner's circle anyway.
That was great. It looked like everybody was having a good time.
She came from, 8th pole, 16th pole, flying.
Yeah.
You could see her coming.
Yeah, Yuri Uranga gave her a great ride. She was full of herself and... it was really nice to see. They worked real hard on this. I know Tim and Brian put a lot of energy into it. And, you know, Tim's really, really good with figuring out what a horse wants to do and how to get her to do it. So
Philly Van likes you might want to go on a little bit, you know.
I think he's going to put her in long next time.
Yeah, they let her look like a one-run filly, you know.
Yeah.
Let her make one run.
Well, you know, she was well-meant years ago. I mean, it's not often you get a 5-year-old maiden mare breaking her maiden in her 5-year-old year.
Well,
we've done that.
But she's well, as I say, it's not often.
I've had a couple of them get to the races till they were five.
Yeah.
But it was fun. It's fun to win one at, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And
nothing like that's the only thing I really miss about training is walking down that winner's circle.
Yeah.
That's the biggest thrill in the world, especially, you know, we always raced our own. We did race a couple of, you know, for real close friends, Jimmy Dryman and Alan.
But mostly it was what we couldn't sell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you really have to work on those dudes.
It is a thrill. I mean, when I had horses up at Suffolk Downs and won a $3,500, we had a race. It was a $3,500 claiming race. Non-win is a two life, but it was sponsored by the River Bay City Club in Boston. The River Bay City Club.
What was that now? Is that
When I finally got to the winner's circle to get our fabulous trophy, it was five old ladies. They made up a name.
Oh, I love it.
But I did get a trophy that had it on it for the $3,500.
Oh, that's funny.
Claimer.
Yeah. It was the Akron, some saloon in Akron or
Sponsored
Toledo or something.
Yeah.
I mean, it was great. That made it. I just loved it. I thought that was outstanding.
I tell you, and you talk about a big crowd in the winner's circle. I didn't know one of them. Other than Jackie.
I don't think Tim did either. No, he did. His family.
Mom and dad was there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They had a whole family there. It was fun. It was a good time. Everybody started screaming about 16th pole because you could see she was coming.
She was flying. Yeah. That was really great. Well, you know, we have one of Bert Bacharach's old horses, Afternoon Delights, at the farm. And Afternoon Delights was considered to be one of the favorites for the Derby when he got hurt and couldn't race. But he only had 12 starts and earned over $1 million.
He raced with Bert Bacharach.
Yes. Yeah. And when Bert had him, when Bert came out with his memoir last year, and Afternoon Delights gets 2 pages in the memoir.
Good.
And he said, you know what, I got all these awards, you know, Oscar and Emmys and Grammys and all this other stuff. And I'll tell you something, nothing ever made me happier than a sunny day at Santa Anita in the winter circle.
Ah, that's fun.
So
I'll tell you what, if you breed him and
Matt
raise him, yes, he's out there.
Oh, yeah,
if you
okay.
Breed him,
yeah.
And big raise crowd him.
Big crowd.
Train him yourself.
Big crowd on the clocker stand now.
Yeah.
The cuckoo's about to hit the fan.
What?
And there they go.
The shoo-shoo's about to hit the fan.
Yeah, boy.
Where they're loaded up now.
When they hired me to do the clocking many, many years ago, after I'd stopped training, Jim Pendergrass over there said, you'll have about 40 workers a week. I said, oh, man, it's just, you know.
And where did he get that number?
What, you know, I don't know.
That's all they turned in before that.
But within 2 weeks, I was getting 40 a day. And the all-time record, and Jackie and I, you were the only one helping me that morning.
Yeah.
Thank God you were
just
here.
Just the two of us.
Yeah, we had 117 works on one Saturday morning.
Wow.
We had clocks ticking, lined up, left and right. We each had, we're running about 3 clocks.
And
on each side of us, that made 6.
Part of the time, Jim is the general manager here, in case anyone didn't know. He came down and stood behind us for about 20 minutes. We had a little pause, you know, and he said, "Whoo, that was ugly," and he left.
That's why he's the general manager.
Yeah, right.
And those are the days when you had to time him with a sundial.
That's right. It was tough.
Oh, get out of here. Get out
now,
of here.
Now, 1 Mississippi, 2 Mississippi.
We got it done, though.
Yeah, and it's obviously such a great day today, and
you know, it's not humid. It's a good day to work.
When there's a gravel parking lot right behind the clocker stand here, and you pull in, you can hear that tires on gravel, you know. And that day we were right in the middle of all this, and you're hearing that sound. And Jackie says, "If I hear that damn gravel one more time, I'm getting out of here."
Here they come.
Yeah.
Dancing stopwatches.
Now, I had it in mind that you were going somewhere for another race pretty soon.
No, next weekend.
Next weekend. Where are you going?
Going to Saratoga.
Ah. I was just wondering. That's why we were. I thought maybe I'd get mixed up and it was today.
The Gaming Commission in New York is sponsoring an aftercare summit at Fasig Tipton. And so we get to talk to people, and that's on Tuesday. But I thought I'd sneak up there a little early just in case they're holding a Travers. Oh, yeah, they are.
Oh, yeah.
And it's my other
show up for the big one.
It's got Frosted's going, Texas Red's going. I mean, this could be this could be really good race. The same weekend is, I think it's the same day. I think it's on Saturday. It's the Sword Dancer. And the Sword Dancer is my favorite race of all time. I just love that race.
Don't you have a winner of it here?
Well, in 1995, I went up to the race, and Curie's Clown made the lead, went wire to wire, and Awad came from dead last and couldn't quite catch him. And then in 1997, Awad came back and won it. And Awad, in 1997, set the track record. and still holds it. He holds the track record.
And they're together.
For the sword dancer. Well, they were. So they were at the sword dance. He set the record for the sword dancer and for the Arlington Million. What? But the funny thing is, so when I went up there, I couldn't get a seat because it was so crowded. I ended up watching most of the race on TV. And then years later, we had both Awad and Curious Clown at the farm in adjoining paddocks. Saturday nights, I'd go down and sit in my chair, drink my beer, get my racing form, plan for Sunday's trip to the chapel. And I'd have the only seat in the house.
There you go.
That's great.
Yeah, we were there the day the Curious Clown arrived, I think.
Yeah. What a nice horse. We're going to get another one of Mary Sullivan's horses pretty soon. And we got a big backup. But the cool thing is the bank has decided to loan us the money for our expansion.
Sucker. Including, that's wonderful.
Yeah, so I got to get put a few dollars together for the down payment. But that's really good that
you're going all the way down to Ironworks then.
In this portion, we're going almost all the way down.
Yeah.
And then once we get that set up and going and everything will work, and then we'll take the last third.
Mm-hmm. How many, when you get this next bunch, how many acres will you have?
Total? When we get the next bunch, close to 200.
Wow.
Getting bigger and bigger.
And then when we go to the final stage, then we'll have almost 300.
Gee whiz.
But the demand's amazing. I wish I could tell you the horses that are on our waiting list. We got Breeders' Cup winners on the damn waiting list.
Wow.
I mean.
That's wonderful.
Yeah. Northern Spur is on the waiting list. And we're going to get Alphabet Soup.
Oh, really?
Touch Gold from Adina Springs. I was talking to Owen the other day, and they've decided that they're going to retire him to us. So we can't. I mean, it's going to be. We're trying to get them over there, of course, in the next few weeks so that. They can, they'll be here for the Breeders' Cup.
Wow.
So people can.
Touch Gold's the one that.
Beat Silver Charm.
Yeah, that's what I'm getting ready to say. Going to put him in the stall next to him.
Well, this is really cool.
That was in the Preakness, wasn't it?
No, in the Belmont.
In the Belmont, yeah. Came from behind and just nipped him.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that.
He snuck up on him.
Oh, he snuck up.
He did. That. Ask Chris McCarron. Next time he's here, you ask Chris McCarron.
Yeah,
that
Chris
was one
McCarron
of Chris McCarron's great rides.
Yeah.
Great rides. He stole it. He stole it because he outboxed
him. That's what Chris says.
Yeah. Gary Stevens agrees. Gary Stevens will tell you the same thing.
Is that right?
Yeah. And I'm prejudiced, and I'll tell you that too.
There you go. Of course, Michael will tell you anything.
The other cool thing is when we're going to get War Emblem home, and War Emblem will be home probably Columbus Day weekend, that mid-October. And,
wow.
And the cool thing about that is we have Saravu, won the Belmont win. When War Emblem was going for the Triple Crown,
yeah.
So we'll put them in. We'll have every Saturday, I think, at 1 o'clock. We'll restage. It'll be like the Legends Golf Tournament with Arnold Palmer and Jack Nicklaus. We'll restage the races every Saturday at 1 o'clock.
Great.
Well,
you need to put a track out there.
Yeah.
Oh, they just run for carrots.
Yeah, they run for carrots. Exactly right.
All righty. Well, Alberta's Maximus is betting 1,000. Two starters from his first crop. Two winners. Most recent came at Law, where Azuma Mura, a 2-year-old filly, won her career debut by widening 2 3/4 lengths, going 5.5 furlongs. She was preceded by My Heart Goes On, another filly, winner going 4.5 furlongs in her first start, and then winner of the Angie CB Stakes in her second start. So Albertus Maximus is siring precocious 2-year-olds. He's passing on the speed that carried him to victory in the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Mile. He ran in 1:33.2 that day. And he also set a new track record in the 1 mile Windy Sands handicap going 1 mile at Del Mar. Now, keep in mind that he also won Grade 1 stakes going 9 furlongs, so you can expect his progeny to improve over a route of ground. Albertus Maximus won over $1,328,000. He is one of 6 Grade 1 winners by his sire, and he stands at Shadwell Farm, home also of De Hare, Interdab, both proven sires of graded stakes. When his inquiry is the stallion manager, Kent Barnes. 859-224-4585. See the website, ShadwellFarm.com. Jackie?
Yes, sir. Oh, I'm my turn.
Yeah.
Here to talk about Quillen Leather and Tack, an absolutely fabulous tack shop, leather work, and got anything you need located in Paris, Kentucky.
And I've got another broken halter for him.
Good. Yeah, old tubby busted his
hanging
halter.
In the back of my truck.
Yeah, there you go. Well, they'll fix it, and they'll fix it fast.
They've already fixed it four times.
I know, that's what I said. That horse breaks that enough, we're going to have a whole new halter going.
Yeah.
Enough new pieces on there. They have absolutely fit. Now, the one he broke was old. We're putting together a new one. But they have wonderful, any kind of halter you want. Double buckle, adjustable chin, English chin, rolled throat, throat snap, special order rolled nose. You can go out there, and they've got a bunch already made, if that's what you want. Or they'll make them for you special, with brass nameplates, of course, on everything. Let's see. We don't need twitches this time of the year much. They've
made one for you every now and then.
Oh, please. They got rolled choke collars for dogs. That's kind of a fun thing, that they won't hurt dog's throat when they're trying to pull you across the street. They have black and stainless shanks and halters, too. And then, of course, don't want to forget Rooster Brew, Thursday night, downtown Paris. I mean, that's hysterical.
7:30 on Thursday nights is trivia night.
It's trivia night. Yeah. Down about a block down the hill from the Presbyterian Church. You can't miss it. It's a beer place. If you want to go to Quillen's, just go straight in Paris. Don't take the bypass. Go by the high school and go up and look over to the left.
Third stoplight.
Third stoplight on the left. And if you want to check out what they've got, it's great. Go to Quillen.com, Quillin.com.
Well, in 2015, the nation's number one ranked freshman sire, Uncle Mo, stands at Ashford Stud. The number one and two ranked second crop sires, Looking at Lucky and Munnings, stand at Ashford Stud. And the number one and two leaders on the juvenile sire list, Scat Daddy and Uncle Mo, stand at Ashford Stud. Now, the first foals by the young Ashford Stud stallion, Stay Thirsty, or yearling. And if history means anything, he's a likely candidate to top the freshman sire miss next year. He was a runner. He won the Grade 1 Travers. He won the Grade 1 Cigar Mile, the Grade 2 Jim Dandy, and the Grade 3 Gotham. And he placed in four more Grade 1 sectional, the Hopeful as a 2-year-old, the Classic Belmont, and twice in the Jockey Club Gold Cup. And he earned over $2 million, right at $2 million. His sire is Bernardini. His dam is a multiple graded stakes producer by Stormbird. And he is siring good-looking foals. Take a look at his first crop yearlings at the upcoming sale. He stands at Ashford Stud, where there is a tradition for standing leading sires. Call the farm at 859-873-7088. See the website at kumore.com.
Now, back to Horse Tales with Ursel Ellis.
All righty, and here we go again.
Yeah.
And, Michael, you got your Sunday racing form over there.
Planning ahead.
Got any hot tips?
Planning ahead. Not quite yet. We're just perusing.
You used
now.
To do horses that ran second.
Loser of the week.
Loser of the week.
Loser of
I had a good
week.
One last week. I had a good loser last week. Yeah.
Explain what your how your well, betting system is where you're looking for a loser of the week. Only Michael would look for a loser. Well, you've got the all-time greatest loser at Old Friend.
Yeah, but... Up at we have Zippy Chippy, who was 0-100, banned from every racetrack in the country.
His
special beer glasses are outselling everybody's. Oh, that's another thing. Speaking of my two loves, beer and Silver Charm, they're coming. Saratoga Brewing is coming out with Silver Charm Lager.
Oh, that's so cute! Can you buy it here? You have
not
to buy
yet.
It at Saratoga.
It's going to be on drafted bars, but the pull, you know, the pull for the thing is going to have Silver Charm on it and the colors.
Oh,
and
that's
all that.
So
it's
cute!
Be really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that'll be good. I'll have to make sure that every keg is fresh.
Yes.
Yeah.
You'd be the tester.
You need to install it in one of your barns over
exactly.
There.
Exactly. Yeah. Now you're thinking, finally a good idea after all these years.
Exactly.
I was due.
Any college freshman could have put that one for an argument.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's so how do I pick the loser? Well, it's based on the premise that with a 10-cent superfecta, every once in a while, a horse will win a race that is totally unexpected. And it's also based on the philosophy that all of racing is not as predictable as a lot of the figure guys like to tell you.
Oh, right.
So my idea is always to try and find two horses in a race that are the most likely to finish in the top four and then key them and always put the all button on top.
Ah,
Okay. Because one day I was at the simulcast with some friends, and I hit the all button on top, and I hit the 10-cent super, and the horse paid $160-something.
Right.
His last race is under very similar conditions. He was, you know, last by 23, last by 40, you know, broke badly, vanned off. I mean, it was just a list of right. terrible things. So they said, so the first thing out of their mouths, I didn't tell them I had it yet. The first thing out of their mouth, the guy's mouth is, what kind of an idiot would pick that kind of horse? But with the favorite at 4-5 finishing third, it came back over $1,200 for 10 cents.
Oh, yeah. Fun! So now a 10-cent superfecta, when you bet it costs like $12, right?
Well, it all depends on how many horses you put in it.
Oh, okay.
So there's that. But
I never
look,
have figured
think of
that
it this
out.
Way. Think of it this way: you get for $3, you get 30 combinations.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah. You get 30 different combinations in the 10-cent super. You know, $5, you get 50. And so for a very limited investment, you know, you can take a shot. And it's fun. But the problem is, and I have – this is my pet peeve about picking losers, my system of picking losers. They always focus on the winner after the finish line. I'm trying to find out who won. I'm watching the TV, and there you go. They're following the winner. Wait a minute. Stop. Go back.
Yeah, go back. Right.
I'm more interested in who finishes third or
right,
fourth.
Right.
Just – keep the camera where it is, right on the finish line, and let's
dummy.
See the deal.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Anyway.
You're talking about the pulled up, you know. What
yes.
was it you said?
Vanned off.
Vanned off, yeah.
Yeah, that's a beaut.
That's one of my handicapping angles, too. You know, you bet those vanned off horses
well, I
coming back.
I got to tell you what my good friend Herb Jones told me. And he was Herb take a single horse, and he pointed for a race, and he was about as good as anybody you ever saw.
Yeah, when Burry was lieutenant governor, he had a horse for him, and she or he, whatever it was, won the
lieutenant governor's
cup.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. I mean, that's a hat trick. I'll tell you another one on him, too. The Supremes. When this one, he was in Chicago or
Detroit.
Detroit, and he wanted to meet the Supremes. They were having a Supremes steak, and he, by God, won that thing so he could meet the Supremes.
Oh, that's great.
And he did, and they went out and celebrated, and they all came back broke, as I recall.
Well, anyway, he told me, he says, you know, once you get him ready to run, he says, you got to find a good, honest rider that'll hold a horse for you, you know. And he says, if you can find one that'll pull up on the turn and jump off, that's even better.
You got to love this guy.
I love her.
Oh,
I'm reading a really, really good book, and I'll have it finished by next week. I'll bring it in and give it to you. It actually won the Tony Ryan Book Award a few years ago. It's by T.D. Thornton, and it's called Not by a Long Shot, A Year at Suffolk Downs. And it is a brilliant, brilliant book.
Is that right?
And he talks about, you know, there was a file in the office called Race Fixing. In the manila envelope, and you go back and see all the, you know, and his thing, you know, his point is obviously, you know, almost all racing is really on the up and up. People are paying fairly.
Yeah.
But it's that little tiny little speck that, you know, people really want to get rid of. But then again, it wouldn't be the same. And,
right.
And it wouldn't be the same without a touch of larceny. And,
yeah.
and he has some very good examples.
Well, I always said if you took 10 trainers and they all got together and they say, okay, we're going to let number four win. We're all going to hold back and let number four win. Number four is the only one that would be behind. They'd all be out there whipping and driving to take the whole thing.
Yeah. Well, you know, my favorite Suffolk Downs story was – the racing commission was skeptical, was very sure that they were using buzzers, that there was somebody using a buzzer in a race. And so he came down, the representative came down as they were in the gate, and he said, okay, all I want to do is I got to tell you this, I'm not going to convict anybody, but unless at the end of the race, everybody's going to get checked for a buzzer. And there was 10 horses in the field. And when they opened up the gate and left, there were 9 buzzers
right
in the gate.
Yeah, yeah. And
is that
the one
won. The other guy
that
won
must
and
been
pitched his buzzer on the turn or something?
I had a guy on the show once, an old-time racetracker, we were riding at the bushes. He was talking about just that, you know. And I said, well, how'd you run? He says, well, I kept mine. I won it. Well, the only yearling from the first crop consigned to the just-concluded Saratoga Preferred Sale of New York breds by Dominus sold for $140,000. Superb individual, just like his sire. And he sold for right at $50,000 more than the sales average. So you'll have the opportunity to expect more yearlings by Dominus at upcoming sales. And when you do, keep in mind that Dominus is a multiple graded stakes winner with a great pedigree. He won the Grade 2 Dwyer at Belmont. He won the Grade 2 Bernard Baruch at Saratoga. One on dirt, the other on grass. Sprinted 7 furlongs and won 22 and 2 at Saratoga. And in 122 and 3 the day he broke his maiden at Santa Anita. He is by 2 times champion sire, Smart Strike. He's out of Quandro by Lord of War. Quandro won a place in 9 stakes, 5 graded, and earned over $329,000. So she was a runner, and she's a half-sister to the multiple Grade 1 winner, Honey Rider, winner of more than $2,700,000. Dominus stands at Spendthrift Farm, the Breeders' Farm. Inquiries to Des Dempsey or Brian Lyle or Mark Toothacker at 859-294-0030. Ask about breeding incentives and about the possibility of breeding on Southern Hemisphere time, and see the website at spendthrift.com. Lubricin and Reborn, a couple of products that were developed by Dr. Steve Allday, who is big supporter of old friends, by the way. Dr. Allday,
some of our board of directors.
On the board of directors and one of the top vets in the country as far as
just donated more than $5,000 to old friends fundraiser.
Wow.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's enough reason right now for you to go out and buy Lubricin and Reborn.
And it works. Just ask Ken Ramsey.
And you can go. Yeah, Ken uses it.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah, Ken does.
Russell takes it. I take it.
I like the grape flavor.
Yeah, I
did too.
I took it before it was available for humans. I took it when it just had the horse version.
I had a good friend that took Butte. And he ended up with a bad stomach problem.
I'm sure he did.
Yeah. Well, anyway. Well, Lubricin, you won't end up with a bad stomach with a problem with it because it's test-free to begin with, so Michael passed the spit box. So
this time.
Most days.
Discounting the beer that he consumes. But it was developed by Dr. Allday, and it's been endorsed by many owners and trainers and vets, both products as far as that goes. And they're all natural, test-free. What Lubricin does, it sustains the integrity of joint fluid, and it helps reduce the cost of these things like acid injections and so forth like that. But some of the trainers that use it, whenever you see something that Todd Pletcher is saddling or Tony Dutrow or Jerry Hollendorfer or Mike Maker, just to mention a few of them, well, they use Lubricin. And they, as we say, we also have it for humans. I use it. Now, Reborn is 100% sterile whole concentrated natural bovine colostrum, and it's safe and it's easy to use as a dietary supplement for horses of all ages. And what it does, it strengthens the horse's immune system, and its high concentration of growth factors and antibodies helps that support that immune system in all horses of all ages and provides a quicker recovery from physical challenges. And it's a great product. Started with foals. So remember that next season when mare's nursing, you know, the foal's nursing, put it on Reborn. Here's how you find out more about them. Reborn is reborne.com and Lubricin is lubricin.com. And you can buy those at Old Friends or KBC in Lexington or Horse Sense in good old Versailles. All right, well, Wednesday at Saratoga, the $100,000 Bolton Landing Stakes was won by Simple Surprise, a 2-year-old filly by Cowboy Cal. Come right in. Is that Caroline? Hi. Be right with you, hon. Let's see, where are we? Wednesday at Saratoga, the $100,000 Bolton Landing Stakes was won by Simple Surprise, a 2-year-old colt by Cowboy Cal. Simple Surprise is 2 for 2. Broke his maiden in his debut at Churchill on June 18th. He was also at Churchill Downs, where another 2-year-old by Cowboy Cal at Hara broke her maiden first time out and then came back to run second in the $100,000 debutante stakes. Cowboy Cal has already proven his ability to sire graded stakes winners. He's by the nation's third-ranked crop sire. He is the nation's third-ranked crop sire. Excuse me. That's a list headed by Pioneer of the Nile. And that's pretty good company. And Cowboy Cal's 2,000 stud fee is just $5,000, and you don't have to pay it until the foal stands up and looks at you. A multiple graded stakes winner and millionaire by Giant's Causeway
He stands at Ten Oak Stud, home also a broken foul, side yet of another stakes winner just last weekend. And the young alternation, like Cowboy Cal, a multiple graded stakes winner, millionaire, and also the son of a champion sire, Distorted Humor. For more on the stallions at Ten Oak Stud, call Clifford Berry and Nancy Stevens at 859-873-1420 and see the website at pinoakstud.com.
You're listening to Horse Tales with Ursa Lelis.
Righty. Well, my guest is joining me, Carolyn Walsh.
Now, wait.
What?
I just want to say one piece of news, then I'll let you do the important stuff.
Can't wait till you get in. I want to talk to this cute girl.
Well, this is really good news. I was talking to Kent Barnes over at Shadwell.
Yeah.
He called me last week, and he goes, what would you think about retiring Sea Hero from Turkey?
Yes, finally.
Oh.
And so the Turkish Jockey Club is meeting this week to decide whether they'll send him to us.
Finally. Well, I've got a sticker at home, must be 10 years old, says, bring back Sea Hero.
I know. That's when we first started Old Friends.
Yes,
I know. We've been working on it for over a decade.
Yes.
Wow. Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Yeah,
news.
So we'll see. He's retired over there, and the agent's interested, and Kent's interested, and Kent volunteered to go over and get him.
Oh, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, nice people out of Shadwell.
Yeah, very nice.
Is such good news. I can't believe it's been that long.
I know.
But I really do. Betsy's room, it was a little sticker kind of a thing, and it's on her window still.
Yeah.
Bring home. Congratulations.
Well, we'll see. I don't want to count our chickens before they hatch, but it would be really, really great. And it's interesting because, you know, Martha Miller, Mac's widow, just died a few months ago, and in their will, in Mac and Martha's will, they left $10,000 to Old Friends. So if we can get Sea Hero back, we're gonna use that money to help finance it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What would it cost to get him back from over there?
I don't know.
He's in Turkey.
Yeah, it's cheaper than Japan. I know that.
Well, it's yeah.
And Kent said he'll go just if we pay for his plane ticket, and we don't have to pay him. So that's with War Emblem coming home. When we made the deal with Shaddai Stallions, they made sure that his vet was going to come on the plane.
Is
so
that
he's going to be accompanied by his vet. And
when does War Hero get?
War Emblem.
I mean War Emblem. Yeah,
if everything goes right, he'll be here mid-October.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Caroline, have you been over there to Old Friends yet?
I have not.
My goodness.
I've heard loads of good things about it.
The Flying Star people have been great. Starley's been great. Yeah, that's an amazing program.
Yeah.
If I was younger, I'd apply. Of course, I probably couldn't get in, but.
Well, no, they wouldn't want you. When the hell would they want for you?
And I have to say, the horse named after Mac Miller is running tomorrow at Saratoga.
Well, was Mac Miller the name of it?
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes.
Oh.
And stands a really good shot at winning. I bet him last time he finished second. And Javier Castellano stays on him, and so
who's got him?
Mac Miller. I think Gary Contessa.
Oh, okay.
So something to look forward to.
Yeah,
and something to look forward to today with lovely Maria and Lead Betty.
He gets Caroline. He gets a big donation from Burry Jones whenever he wins a big stakes race.
Oh, very good, very good.
Yeah. Yeah. So you know who you're rooting for.
Yeah.
You all are going to have to start doing that over Wednesday.
I went to, great idea.
I'll suggest it.
When Barry called me a few days before lovely Maria was entered into the Ashland Stakes, and he said, if lovely Maria wins the Ashland Stakes, I'm going to give you $20,000. So then I looked up, and Kerwin Clark, aptly named Boo Boo Clark, was riding, and I go, holy cow, the guy's like in his 50s. He's been racing since he was 16 and never won a grade one.
Oh, yeah.
Until that day, thank God.
That was the Ashland.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And she powered home and won.
Yeah. That's true. Well, it couldn't happen to a nicer guy.
No, he's the best. That whole family's unbelievable.
Yeah, they are. They come up here all the time.
His horses are doing great, and Majestic Perfection, and, he's doing really well.
Yeah. That's his first crop. I mean, Sire and Kentucky Oaks winner in his first crop doesn't get much better than that, unless it's a Derby winner in his first crop.
It's true, I guess.
As far as those are the two races I would rather win, and I'd rather win them in the Breeders' Cup.
Mm-hmm.
I really would.
Yeah,
that's because that's a hard boot coming out in me.
Homegrown. Kentucky proud.
Yeah, right. There you go.
All right, Ursel. I won't see you next week.
No, you're going to Saratoga.
But you could call me if you want. I don't know. You may not want to. I don't know.
I'll consider it.
Consider it. Think about it. You got a whole week to think about it. I'll bring you back some more of that Saratoga beer. I'll bring you back a jar of Silver Charm, the lager.
Oh, okay. That sounds good. I'm going to do one more set of commercials, and I'm going to get to
to you just then. Well, the Old Year in Bamacho Uno is in the Saratoga sale, a preferred New York bread, sold for $135,000. The opening day sales average was $81,000, and Macho Uno's stud fee is $20,000, doing a full stanza nurses. That stud fee is a real bargain for an Eclipse Award-winning 2-year-old that has already sired a winner of the Breeders' Cup Classic. That would be Mucho Macho Man, a winner of over $5,625,000, and is stablemated at Dana Springs, Kentucky. And remember, Mucho Macho Man came within a photo finish of winning the Breeders' Cup Classic 2 years in a row. He's one of 5 Grade 1 winners by Macho Uno, a list that includes the Fleet Private Zone. Twice winner of the historic Grade 1 Vosburg, of the Grade 1 Cigar Mile, of graded stakes this year, and of more than $2 million. Macho Uno in 2015 had 2-year-olds sales for $370,000, $310,000, $260,000. Easy to see why. Horsemen know that he sires runners. So watch for yearlings at the upcoming sales, and for more on the stallions at Adena Springs, call Cormac Breathnock or Jack Brothers at 859-987-1798 and see the website at adenastallions.com.
Here it is. Fox Sports 1580 is available everywhere you want to listen on our free iHeartRadio app. Download it now. WWTF Georgetown, Lexington.
Well, last Sunday at Saratoga, the New York bred yearling sale, that sale, a filly by Proud Citizen, went for $220,000, a filly by Majestic Perfection for $210,000, and a colt from the first crop by Creative Call sold for $175,000. Of course, Proud Citizen is done well at stud. He's listed among as many stakes winners or 2 winners of the Kentucky Oaks. Majestic Perfection in his first crop side this year's Kentucky Oaks winner, Lovely Maria, and the demand for his progeny has been strong and from the beginning and remains so. Horsemen like Creative Cause because he was a superior stakes winner. He has a superb grade degree and his first foals look and act like runners. He's a Grade 1 winner and a millionaire. He is by Champion Sire Giants Causeway, winner of over $3 million and an emerging sire of sires. He's out of a Grade 1 winner and millionaire, Creative Cause, and he defeated every horse he ever raced, including the likes of Take Charge Indy and Bodemaster and Painter and I'll Have Another. Stands at Mr. and Mrs. Burton, C. Jones, Airdrie Stud. See the website at airdriestud.com. And remember, the Airdrie Stallions are your key to racing profit.
Now, back to the Thoroughbred Training Center in Ursulelis.
All right, I've got Caroline Walsh with me right now from over at Windstar Farm. She's a graduate of the Darley Flying Start Program. And as you'll be able to tell from the accent in just a second, she's from Ireland. I think half Ireland's over here.
Yeah, at this stage, yeah.
And she's much traveled, by the way. I want to talk a little bit about that. I've been trying to get Caroline on the show for the last month, and the dust finally settled.
Yeah, we've been on the road for the past few weeks. Yeah, I was very lucky. I started the position at Windstar 6 weeks ago, and we headed off. We went through, went to the Haskell, we went to Saratoga, and we were at Arlington Million last weekend. So. Yeah. Yeah, we've been kind of on the road a good bit. I think we've done over 2,500 miles, so I've got to see a bit of America, which is nice.
Well, that's great. I want to talk to you a little bit about that. What did you think of the Haskell? I mean, had you ever been to Monmouth Park before?
I had never been before. I loved the track. It was, you know, great energy there, and it handled the crowd really well. I think for myself, I'd never gotten to see American Pharoah in the flesh before because I was traveling when he was on the Triple Crown Trail. So that was unbelievable. We went out to the track the day before the Haskell, watched him do his final gallop, and then just the energy on the day was amazing. Some horse.
How'd you like his looks? What'd you think of it?
Oh, he's beautiful. I mean, we watched him work and he just floats. It's unbelievable. The length of stride and the ease with which he does it. You know, he has a look of his father, which is nice to see.
Yeah, now that's just trying to sell the season because Pioneer of the Nile is a sire stands at Windstar Farm.
Have to be cheeky and drop it in.
I don't think you have to have any problem selling seasons.
I don't think so. I think he'll keep us busy this year.
Yeah, right. How many mares are you going to book to him, by the way?
I am not totally sure. I would imagine somewhere around 120 would be around what he bred last year, the same type of number. So we'll see how he goes.
Yeah, you know. And a whole lot depends on what happens at the end of the season, or if, how many you stop and so forth like
absolutely,
that.
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely. We'll have to see how everything goes. But yeah, he's in good form at the moment. So we're looking forward to this season. Yeah. You should get some really good quality mares.
Well, you've done something that I've never had a chance in all my years, and I've been around a long, long time. Anyway, you got to see a Triple Crown winner.
Yeah, unfortunately, I didn't get to be there for it, and I went to all three legs last year for California Chrome, but I did get to watch them. I watched the Derby in Kildare, I watched the Preakness in Dublin, and I watched the Belmont in the UK in Newmarket, so I was supporting from a distance.
I never got to see one race live. Well, I've seen them, you know. In mm-hmm. fact, I bred a mare one time to Citation, tell you how old I am, and of course, the Triple Crown winner, And I got to see Affirmed after he retired to stud. Mm-hmm. And, of course, the TV is not quite the same as seeing it live, you know.
Oh, I know. The buzz must have been amazing. I know some people who were there on Belmont Day, and they said it, the crowd and the roars. I mean, the video is amazing, so I'm sure being in there in person would be something else.
Then you went to Saratoga. What races did you see up there?
Oh, we were there for Whitney Day, which was amazing. Yeah, so that was great. I mean, Honor Code was something else.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very exciting. And we got to go racing most days in the afternoons, but a lot of the work that we were doing up there, we went around lots of different farms, meeting our New York breeders, and then also going to the sales and inspecting Windstar sired progeny, you know, just getting an idea of what the horses are like and tracking their progress through the sales. So got to do a mix of things.
Now, do you all stand in the stallions in New York?
We don't at the moment, no.
Okay,
no.
I just wondered about that. No. But I'm sure you get a lot of New York breeders.
Yeah, we do. We do get a lot of New York breeders, and so that's definitely a relationship that we would like to keep up and be able to meet them. Being able to meet them face-to-face is a great opportunity, especially for me because I'm fresh in the door, so I haven't got to meet anyone there yet.
Yeah. How'd you like Saratoga?
Oh, it's absolutely amazing. I'd never been before, so everyone was warning me, you know, don't blow the turn when you go to Saratoga. But it was great. I mean, it's beautiful, and the whole community, you know, being so into the racing and into the sales. I've never been to a sales like it. Everybody dressed up to the nines, and the crowds there, apparently they were, you know, something this year that they hadn't seen in a few years. It was lots of people there.
Yeah.
So it was great.
Did you stay for the New York bred sale of yearlings?
I didn't. We headed back after that. We'd been on the road at that stage for 12 days, so we headed back after the select sale. And then, so I just tracked that on the internet. Yeah. But two strong sales. You know, both of them were very good selected.
Oh, yeah, both, so, yeah. Hope it keeps up.
Well, yeah, I mean, looks like plenty of people came away having not filled what they wanted to buy, so hopefully September will follow on with that strength.
Yeah, there you go. And Arlington Park, how'd you like Arlington?
Loved that as well. Arlington was amazing. We had Closing Bell running in the Secretariat, came second, ran a really, really good race, so that was a great day for us up there. But the track is just beautiful.
I mean, it is a pretty track, isn't it?
Yeah, watching it on the TV doesn't really do it justice. When you get there, you know, it's really something else. So hopefully I'll get up there again next year. If we don't have a runner, I'd like to make a trip up there myself and maybe bring a couple of friends. It was really, really nice. I went into Chicago for a little bit afterwards. And my parents they lived in America for years, which is why I was born over here. So I'm a dual citizen. And they lived in Chicago for a short amount of time, so I wanted to go into the city and just kind of see where they had been and get a feel for it, and it was really nice.
So you were born in this country?
Yeah, I was born in New York.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, you know, you're a New York bred then.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
Well, that's good. I won't get into that in just a few minutes, you know, get a little bit of your history. But it was a great day for Ireland and Arlington.
It was.
Park, wasn't it?
Yeah, we're representing very well at the moment. That's what somebody said to me after. Maybe you should just start putting money on all the Irish horses. I was like, I think that's a good idea.
Yeah. Well, they won three of the big stakes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they didn't.
Did you know any of the connections?
I didn't. I mean, I would have known them vaguely, but not personally. I'm not actually from an industry family in Ireland, so I've kind of done a lot of my work has been over here, so I probably know the industry here better than at home, but yeah.
Well, I've got to point out that you don't have a New York accent.
No, I don't. I'm keeping the Irish brogue, which I'm not sure if it's a good thing or not. I've had a couple of interesting calls from people saying, you know, I've listened to your voicemail 3 times and I just can't figure out what your name is. So I think I'm going to have to dumb it down a little bit.
I used to, when I stopped training, I used to do the clocking out here, and we've got 4 or 5 Irish trainers out here. And I blame them for me having to retire from clocking, you know, especially Jimmy Cargan. Do you know Jimmy?
I don't. I've met him briefly, but I don't know him well.
Well, he's a wild man, and he's a good guy. I'll say that. But anyway, I like to needle him a little bit. And I blame my retirement for him, you know, on him because you have to communicate with the trainers and the riders and everything when you do the clocking, you know. Well, I always had trouble with the Hispanics. That's, you know, I mean, they don't speak hardwood and I don't speak Spanish. But, you know, I would survive. But I knew I had to quit when I got so I couldn't understand the Irish. And I think it, that Jimmy was throwing in a little Gaelic on purpose.
just to throw you off. And we're worse in numbers as well. When we get in numbers, we get worse.
Okay. Let me get back to you, talking to Carolyn Walsh. Well, August 15th at Saratoga, the Grade 2 $500,000 four-star Dave Handicap was won by Grand Arch, son of Arch. Then on August 16th, Terrace, a daughter of Flatter, won the Grade 3 Rancho Bernardo at Del Mar. Grand Arch, a $120,000 sales yearling, has earned over $1 million. Now, Arch is sired of 10 Grade 1 winners, 4 champions. He's a great source of stamina. Terrace has won 5 of his 7 starts in the Rancho Bernardo. It was her first start this year. Last year, as a 3-year-old, she won Keenan's Grade 2 Raven Run. She also won the Wide Country Stakes at Law. Was second in the Grade 1 La Brea at Santa Anita, bred by Claiborne Farm and Adele Dill Snyder, and sold as a yearling for $90,000. She sold last fall at Facing Tipman for $2,350,000. That's what happens when you run. Flatter sired another stakes winner last weekend when Lucy's Bob Boy won the Frank Gall Memorial. That boosted his earnings to over $969,000. Now, both Arch and Flatter stand at Claiborne. Inquiries to Bernie Sams at 859-233-4252 and see the website at claibonfarm.com. If you're looking for a farm, you're trying to sell your farm, I would suggest you call Hill and Reagan Parker, great friends of mine, great people, lovely people, honest. When it comes time to sell my farm, that's exactly where I'm going to go, is to talk to Hill and Reagan Parker. Because I know they work real hard in getting the job done. And they've got a great listing now. I'll give you that website in just a second. But they've got farms for sale in just about every county around here. Fayette, Bourbon, Jesmond, Woodford, Scott, and Clark. Outstanding variety of locations and sizes and prices. And if you're looking for a place, they can help you find just the perfect farm just for you. And they'll keep going until they do find it. So they're lovely people. They're experienced horsemen, and they know what horsemen want. If you want to list your farm, give them a call. Here's their phone number. It's 859-608-8039. And here's their website. It's lexhorsefarms.com. Lexhorsefarms.com. Best thing about them is they're somebody you can absolutely trust. They're honest and hardworking, and who could ask for any more than that? Hill and Reagan Parker and my kind of people. Well, Get Stormy won a grade one stakes at Churchill, won Grade 1 stakes at Keeneland, and won Grade 1 stakes at Gulfstream. He also won 2 graded stakes at Saratoga, another graded stakes at Keeneland, a stakes at Monmouth, placed in another Grade 1 at Keeneland, another Grade 1 at Gulfstream, placed in a pair of graded stakes at Saratoga, and 2 graded stakes at Monmouth, and yet another one at Churchill. He earned $1,606,812. He was a flat runner. And that alone should be enough incentive for you to take a good look at his first crop yearlings at the upcoming sales. He's also siring grand-looking individuals. Go take a look. We think you'll agree. And he's the son of Stormy Atlantic, a highly successful, he sired more than 100 stakes winners, son of the great Stormcat. Get Stormy at Pope McLean's Crestwood Farm, where they've raised more than 250 stakes horses. And you're welcome to visit the farm to inspect the stallions. Just call Pope or Pope Jr. at 859-252-3770. And see the website at crestwoodfarm.com.
Now, back to Horsetails with Ursula Ellis.
All right, I'm talking to Caroline Walsh from over at Windstar Farm, who's, in spite of her Irish brogues, was born in New York. Did you hear that, Jackie?
Yeah, well, bad things happen to good people.
That was a very good thing for me.
Well, so explain how this happened. Now, your folks, are they living in Ireland now?
Yeah. So my parents are both Irish, and my dad was transferred to America for work.
Now what now?
My dad was transferred over to the States.
Oh, okay.
Through work. So they worked in Chicago, and then they worked in New York. I was born when they lived in New York and lived there for 3 years and then moved back home to Ireland.
Ah.
So,
okay.
Yeah, that's why I'm got such a thick Irish bro.
What did your dad do? Was he involved at all in the horse business? Or?
He's not at all. Literally wouldn't know which end to feed. And that's not an exaggeration.
That's pretty obvious, but go ahead.
So dad works in banking. And I grew up in Dublin City, so never had any exposure to horses through family. It was actually a cousin of mine that did eventing, kind of got me into riding as a kid, and I could never have any horses because we lived right in close to the city, so I used to just ride anybody's kind of green horses that needed a bit of experience, show jumping or cross country or anything like that. And any way I could get on a horse, I'd figure it out.
Exactly. Good for you.
Just fell into thoroughbreds that way. Rode out for a jumps trainer and caught the bug.
So you decided that you wanted to make horses your life then?
Yeah, that's it. I did equine science in university and ended up working for Ashford Stud for 6 months.
There or here?
Over here. Coolmore, America. Did 6 months with them, which I think is, that's the portal for Irish people into Lexington, isn't it, really?
Exactly.
So many Irish people that are established here, I'll ask them and they'll say they did 6 months there. So that was a brilliant time. I really, really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
And then
That
was 2010.
Ah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Great people over there.
Really, really good people. Yeah.
Dermot Ryan's a
They know what they're doing, for crying out loud.
Yeah. They've got property. They own Tali Young's old place down in Bourbon County. Yeah. Creekview.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's a beautiful Have you been out there? Yeah, that place is gorgeous.
Yeah, it is. It's
beautiful. It's more rurally looking than Ashford Stud, I think.
Definitely. Very, it's very natural. Pretty. And it's beautiful. I never worked out there, but just bringing mares out, got to see.
What did you work with over at Ashford?
Mares and foals. Foaling barn and then.
Mares and foals?
Yeah, foaling out.
Okay. Then how did you get? Did you get into flying start from that? Or?
No, I finished, went back after my 6 months here and finished off my degree. And then.
What'd you major in?
Equine science.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. And then I took on a research master's, which I don't know if you've come across the light masks for mares to advance the breeding season, the ones with the one little blue light on one side.
Equilume. Yeah, I've heard of that.
So my master's was developing that product and the research involved in whether it worked or not.
Uh-huh.
And so when we started out designing the mask, we got permission to run a trial over here on Castleton Lions. And so I went over and ran the beta trial here and then also worked for them. And so when I finished my master's, I came back and worked for another season at Castleton and applied for the Didarly Flying Start from that.
At Castleton?
At Castleton. I was based there when I applied, yeah.
Oh, okay. Trotter's over there.
No. Ryan. Ryan Ayer.
Yeah.
Dr. Ryan.
Dr. Ryan's
fine. You're 40 years in the past.
No, but you're 40 years in the past. It used to be a standardbred farm. It's one of the oldest farms in Lexington, I think.
Yeah, it was a saddlebred.
Oh, saddlebred, sorry.
Too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's...
Wing Commander, for crying out loud.
But prior to that, many, many years ago, they stood Colon. Commando was there, and the story is that the gentleman that had the place had this really fine stallion. I'm trying to think who it was now, and he used to let people would breed a little bit to his horses, and he got one of this horse's progeny. They beat him in a race, and he wouldn't let outside breeders come in anymore.
Yeah, it's a great.
He wanted to corner the market, in other words.
It's a great piece of land. It has a big column out there. What's that supposed to be like?
It has a round tower, so it's an exact replica of Irish round towers.
There you go.
And the story behind round towers is that they built them in Ireland in the monasteries, and they used to hide all their valuables up the very, very top. And in case of Viking invasions, they would have all their books and their texts and everything up the very top. Mm. And it was built... I believe, now correct me if I'm wrong, but it was built in honor of Dr. Ryan's contributions to charities, especially in donating books to less advantaged children
and
education. So,
The church right there is a very historic church.
It is,
But Jackie and I were married there. That's there's a big sign up there.
It's a beautiful church. It's a beautiful
it's
church.
Pretty. Yeah.
And it's still standing. Yeah. <that's> Well, where'd you go from there?
From Castleton, I got on the Darley Flying Start then, so headed back to Ireland.
Yeah.
Started the Flying Start is over 2 years, so we started in Ireland, did 12 weeks there, based in Kildare, Kildangan Stud. Went to Newmarket then, spent 7 weeks there, based mostly out of Dalham Hall, Darley's operation in Newmarket. Then back to Kentucky, spent 7 months here in 2014, which is great, from January to July.
Yeah. At Darley?
Yeah, well, we kind of did a mixture of everything.
At the old John Abell place?
Yeah, that's kind of our main base, but I actually did so we do different blocks of practical rotation, so I was at Gainsborough, which is their other leg out by Ashford,
uh-huh.
Half of Versailles, which is a beautiful farm. Worked for Danny Mulvihill out there for 4 weeks. And we do a lot of different rotations. We travel with the vets from Haggard's. We go to Johnny Burke at the training center. We do, lots of different rotations.
Johnny Burke?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when he was out here or when he was, where is he?
He's over by Keeneland now.
Yeah, of course. He used to be out here for a long time.
Oh, yeah. Great guy. I love Johnny.
Yeah, he's great. Yeah. I learned a lot from him, so that was great. And then we do an external work placement.
Can't believe a word he says, though. Tell him I said that.
I will. Next time I see him, I'll tell him.
Good. Okay, so you go ahead. I interrupted you.
We do an external work placement on each phase. And so when I was in Kentucky, I got to do it at Windstar for 6 weeks, which is kind of proved to be a 6 week interview in the end.
Yes.
So I was delighted then to get the opportunity to join the team. So I'd spent 6 weeks with them and absolutely loved it. So.
Tremendous bunch of studs over there.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Got any favorites?
It's very hard to pick a favorite. I'm really sweet on Bodie Meister.
Are you really?
Yeah.
What's his temperament like?
He's a dream. Really calm. Yeah. I mean, his walk is beautiful. He's got that kind of, I can attribute it to Empire Maker because Pioneer of the Nile, his walk is stunning too. But Bodie, I think he's something to watch for the future. And hopefully if the sales are anything to go by, then he's on to a winner.
Oh, they sell like hotcakes.
Absolutely hotcakes. I'm dying to see now how he goes in September.
Yeah.
It should be very exciting. Yeah. Very exciting.
Do they really look that good? I guess I haven't seen any of them.
Yeah, they're beautiful. I got to see a lot of foals last year when I was on my 6 week placement, because it was right at the time when they were doing kind of a lot of progeny inspections, and they're beautiful because they're strong. They've got a great hip and shoulder. They're refined. They're not grossly massive. They're well balanced, refined, and they all move like him, which is lovely to see.
Whoa,
yeah.
So, that'll work.
Yeah. I mean, I was really impressed, and I've heard that there's some stunners coming through September. Obviously, because I'm just back in the door, I haven't gotten a chance to see too many of them this time around yet, but I'm definitely looking forward to it.
Yeah, sounds great.
Yeah.
Well, the Derby, the race he ran in the Derby was, a suicide fractions that he set.
Yeah.
And, that he hung on to for second was fantastic, you know. And I thought he had it won at the eighth pole.
Yeah, I remember. I was here that year. I watched all of them. I mean, he was an outstanding racehorse, and I think his record probably, if you just looked at it on paper, doesn't reflect exactly how good he was. You have to watch the races to appreciate.
Yeah.
The style of horse he is. But
I haven't seen him. I'd have to come over and take a look at him. My favorite over there is Tears Now, though. I mean, he is a great horse he was.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I've talked to Chris McCarron, who rode him a lot. Chris had the jockey school. Have you ever been out here to training center before?
I've been here briefly, but not. And it's a beautiful morning out here. It's great to see it in this weather, because I think the last time I was here, it was under like 3 feet of snow.
Oh, well, that's coming back.
Speaking of Jimmy Cargan, he's standing out here right
there
now
he
with the sunglasses on. Yeah, I don't think you can see.
Oh, yeah.
The bald head shining.
Yeah, I can see him. I have to lean back.
Well, I have a question just to go back a little bit. When you were doing the research on the eye light thing, did you come here to the Farm Managers Club and speak?
I didn't, but Dr. Barbara Murphy, who owns the company, she was my master supervisor, so she would have.
Okay, we were there.
Yeah, we were there.
Yeah, that's why we knew
it. I've never seen it.
You've never seen it. I think she's out here at the moment, so we'll have to get her to swing by and
show you. We'd love to.
Yeah. That was good. I mean, I was involved at the very, very start, so at that stage we were nearly kind of duct taping them to horses' heads, but it's very sophisticated and very swanky looking technology.
Duct taping.
That's funny.
Like we do.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, well, everything has to start somewhere, so
right. Duct tape is a miracle, that's for sure.
All right.
What do you ride now?
I used to ride, and I kind of fell out of it a few years back. And on Flying Start, we ride during the Newmarket phase. So I got back into it. I rode out for John Ferguson. He has his stable of jumps horses out there. So I rode out in his pre-training track. Loved it. So hopefully I'll get back into it. But I honestly haven't sat on a horse now in a year and a half. So I'd probably be jelly leg the first time I did.
Well, they
a lot of hunts, several hunts in this area. Louisville and Cincinnati hunts way down this way, and Iroquois and Woodford. Woodford's kind of the Irish hunt.
Yeah.
The insanity of going down the side of a mountain. You know, but it's a lot of fun.
Jackie used to ride.
Come back in one piece and, you know, thank God, where's the beer? You know.
That wasn't beer you drank. He was still.
No, what would I? That no,
you'd have to have a hip flask.
Bailey's, yeah, except not. Now the. Oh, it's a sherry, I think, or a port. In the blue bottle.
Yeah, I know what we're talking about. What's the name of it?
I don't know,
but it's nasty.
Oh, it is not nasty.
It's not nasty. It's delicious.
It's delicious, and it makes you warm.
Yeah, my grandmother used to drink it while she was cooking. That was her thing. I think there you go.
We had a bottle sitting in it.
Granny knew what she was doing.
Yeah. Did she?
Yeah, I've still got about a half bottle in. Yeah, that we used to carry that in a flask.
Yeah.
And start before we set out. Woohoo!
All right.
As soon as I'd hear a hound, I'd start drinking. That's the way to do it. It's a lot of fun.
I want you to do me a favor.
Of course.
You know, I fax those commercials to you all every week.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Look at those things real careful, because I'm eligible to goof.
Oh, and I'm the typist, so God knows if there's a typing error. Yeah. He types on an electric typewriter, because he's one of, you
know. That's because my manual died.
Yeah, the computer is too scattery for him, so I put him on a computer so he can check them.
You know, I thought of the name, Harvey's Bristol Cream.
That's it.
Yeah, there you go.
I knew it comes in. Yeah.
Hey, did you read that? Yes, it is. It's delicious. That's it. It's a sherry, isn't it?
It is a sherry, yeah.
Being from Ireland, I knew she knew.
Well, no, I actually used to work in bars. I worked behind a bar for the whole way through university, so.
Yeah.
Bit of a cocktail waitress in a former life.
There you go. That's good. Come on. What is it? Irish beer. Give me a break. I can't.
Guinness,
yeah.
Is now better for you than taking an aspirin every day for your heart.
Yeah, it's really good for your red blood cells. It's got lots of iron in it.
Yeah.
Give it to Mary still.
Five or six of them and it's great.
Well, the thing of it is most beers are homogenized and that kills all the B vitamins and all this and that kind of stuff. So, Ursel bought me a six pack, and I started drinking one at night in the summer and had hot flashes. And I said, I'm going to do this trick in the winter when it's cold.
All right, we've deteriorated to drinking. All right, Caroline, I'm going to let you go.
Well, thank you very much for having me, Ursula. It's an absolute pleasure.
Well, it's a pleasure to meet you. And don't remember, read those things real close.
I will.
And listen, if you've got anything, you know, interesting in the sale or stuff, stop by any Saturday and have a seat.
Yeah, we will for sure.
Yeah.
We'll have a look.
Yeah, do that, because I want to go out, but I don't want to go out on just any old day. If you got any stuff kind of fun, let us know.
For sure.
We
had one. We had one interesting one yesterday. You know the filly Acapulco that went to won at Ascot and came second yesterday.
Yeah, yesterday she was second. Yeah.
There's a half sister to her in September by Bodemeister.
Oh,
wow! So we're very excited.
That'll go big time.
Really good. Yeah. 297.
Especially the stock market is tanking. The rich people are going to take their money and put it in racehorse stock. Happens all the time.
Well, I hope so.
Yeah, boy.
Hope they put it somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Besides, they get it, if there's anything
under
left.
The mattress. No, that happens. You know, it's a good place to put your money.
Yeah, well, this year it's looking going strength to strength, isn't it? So we'll.
Yeah.
Here's a guy you can sell some seasons to.
He manages Gentry Farm. But
hi, how are you?
Good.
That's Matt Howard.
Nice to meet you.
Yeah. You're down to about six or seven thoroughbred mares, though, aren't you? Yeah. They breed a lot of quarter horses.
Other than that, he's really a nice guy.
he's from Kansas, you know, for God's sake. But, you know, I mean.
I don't know the states well enough to judge yet. So.
It's in the middle of nothing.
You got Kentucky here, you got Kansas up here. You know,
no.
Like
no. Kansas is out there kind of in the middle.
All right, well, I got to get going.
Well, thank you for coming.
Yeah,
thank you
very much. Nice meeting you.
Lovely to meet you guys, too.
Say hello to everybody over.
I will, of course.
Okay.
Thank you.
Well, last Saturday at Arlington, the grade $300,000 pucker-up was won by Ms. Money, a 3-0 fill of a mizzen mast. Ms. Money displayed the tenacity typical of the progeny of mizzen mast to defeat a field of 10 well-bred fillies, winning at the direct expense of the 1-3 finishers in the grade 3 regret at Churchill, with others by the likes of Old Giants Causeway and Congrats and Candy Ride and Pulpit and Kitten's Joy in the beaten field. Ms. Money won the Lacombe Memorial at the fairgrounds earlier this year. Bred by Bernie Flint and Ron Hillrich, Ms. Money is a full sister to One Mean Man, a 2-year-old colt that won his first time out in the maiden special at Ellis Park by 3.5 lengths. Looks like he's going to be a good one. Of course, Mizzen Mast is sired 7 Grade 1 winners, the winners of 3 Breeders' Cup races, a champion 3-year-old filly, a classic filly, and the winners of Grade 1 races at distances from 6 to 10 furlongs, and on every conceivable type of racing service. Mizzen Mast is at Judmont Farm. Inquiries to Garrett O'Rourke are in Fried, 859-272-7629, and see the website judmont.com. Well, in stakes last weekend, the Grade 2 Adirondack was won by Just Wicked, bred by Winchell Thoroughbreds, raised at their Corinthian farm. The Rich Breeders' Cup Stakes in Canada went to Danish Dyna Farmer, foaled in Canada, but bred and raised at the CF farm of Charles Fipke over in Bourbon County. Then on Wednesday at Saratoga, the Bolton Landing Stakes was won by Simple Surprise, who, like Just Wicked, was bred by Winchell Thoroughbreds. Congratulations to all. Now let's take a look at the Saratoga sales, where the two top-priced offerings were both raised on products from Macaulay Brothers. The $2 million sales topper was bred by Ben Sangster and raised at Creekview Farm. That's a division of Ashford Stud. And the second best price was $1,400,000 for a colt, bred by Keen Ridge Racing and raised at Keen Ridge Farm. At the races, where so far this year horses raised on Macaulay products have won 130 stakes, 63 graded, 20 grade 1, and at the sales, you get best results with products from Macaulay Brothers. Record says so. Call Mike Warren or David Longmire at 859-873-3333 to join the winning team. See the website at MacaulayBros.com or stop by the office at 111 Broadway in Versailles. Macaulay Brothers, that's where it's all about the horse. Daily racing form. 9 sets of past performances in a Sunday edition tomorrow. I want to talk a little bit about what is now available in the Daily Racing Form Breeding Edition. Every Tuesday, they offer the most comprehensive stakes reports available anywhere for owners and breeders. And what they do is provide full details of all black type stakes in North America, including the pedigrees, the detailed progeny reports of the female family, information on the winning sire, just everything you can think of. And that comes out every Tuesday. And all you have to do to get that is to sign up by going to drf.com/breeding update. And so do it. Sign today. And it's put together by the Daily Racing Form. And they, of course, they've got articles by John Sparkman and top writers in that edition, the breeding update edition. It's a great tool for anybody that's in the horse business. And, of course, the Daily Racing Form's a Daily Racing Form. It's racing's Bible. And I've been reading it since it was, you could buy one for a quarter. What does that tell you?
Yeah, and they had it on bark.
It's
printed on
tablets.
Papyrus. There you go.
Whatever.
Stone tablets.
No, Paris was the 1923 English Derby winner.
All right.
But go ahead. All right, so go to that. Once again, that's a Daily Racing Form at drf.com/breeding. And you'll be glad you did, because it's a great tool for anybody who is in the horse business.
You're listening to Horse Tales with Ursulele.
Hey, Jackie, you want to do some announcements so I can rest my Thompsons?
I'll be glad to. I want to say first.
And she was a cute little girl.
Oh, yeah, sweetheart. Very nice.
Yeah.
let's see, I told her that this will be up on UrsulaHorsetales.com, and she said, oh, I hate to listen to myself. I said, yeah, but your parents in Ireland, of course, would love it. So
yeah.
That we're also on iHeartRadio. You can listen. They could have listened live.
Yeah.
This morning, you just go to the iHeartRadio app and put in what you want, and you can. People in China right now are listening to us.
Yeah, no wonder the market's flipping.
I know it. Poor things. Okay, to my announcement, the Monets reruns. Monets, which are Moneighs, are paintings done by the horse itself. Sometimes they put a little paint on the horse's nose and he rubs it around the paper. Sometimes they'll put a brush in their teeth and they'll go up and down and up and down and up and down and paint. And then they put some on one foot and then it's the horse steps on. They're cute. They're fun. They're really nice to have. I think California Chrome is up now on eBay. So if you're interested, it's a good one. I saw it. So just go to, well, the best thing to do is go to Google and Monet, you know, Google Moneighs. Okay, Woodford Hound Hunter Pace is at Shakertown October 11th. It starts at 9 a.m. They have three fields. They have regular first field, then they have hilltoppers, and then they have trail riders. So just go down for a day of good time, good fun stuff. New Vocations is going to have two Kentucky events in September. Thoroughbred only charity horse show Saturday, September 12th, and an open hunter pace Sunday, September 20th. Proceeds from both events will go to the program's efforts to rehab, retrain, and rehome retired racehorses. I guess when I said rerun and talked about the Monets, if you don't know, rerun is a facility that takes racehorses and turns them into horses that are for adoption that are wonderful. My filly went to a girl up in
Michigan,
and she's bringing her down. She's a mare now, and she's bringing her down for some big show. So it's going to be so much fun. Out at the horse park. Woo! Okay, Saratoga has joined the Racehorse Aftercare Movement. The formation of Racehorse Aftercare Charities of Saratoga. They announced it from the National Museum of Racing. That's where it's really good. Heading for home, rerun, that's rerun, at North Country Horses and Old Friends at Cabin Creek, and another, and Saratoga War Horse and the Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation. So, excellent.
Interrupt you a second?
Sure.
Albertus Maximum is batting 1,000, two starters from his first crop, two winners. Most recent came at Law. Azuma Muir, two-year-old filly, won her first start by widening 2 3/4 lengths, going 5.5 furlongs. She was preceded by My Heart Goes On, another filly. She won first time out, 4.5 furlongs in her first start, and then won the Angie B. CB Stakes in her second start. So, Albertus Maximus is siring precocious two-year-olds. Now, he's passing on the speed that carried him to victory in the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Mile, ran 1:33.2 that day, and to track record time in the Grade 1 Windy Sands Handicap, that's going a mile at Del Mar. Now keep in mind that he also won Grade 1 Stakes going a mile and an eighth, so you can expect his progeny to improve over a route of Graham. Albertus Maximus won the $1,328,000, and he is one of six Grade 1 winners by his sire, and he stands at Shadwell Farm, home also of DeHare and Entidab, both proven sires of graded stakes winners. The inquiries to stallion manager Kent Barnes, 859-224-4585, and see the website at ShadwellFarm.com.
Want unlimited access to pedigrees for more than 2 million foals? Then Brissette.com's American Produce Records is for you. Updated in real time and available on demand, go to Brissette.com/APR. Optimized for tablet and mobile, Brissette.com's APR online is the place for instant access to a wealth of information on nearly every North American thoroughbred dating back more than a century. race records, public auction prices, pedigree statistics, and more, all included for $275 per year. Visit brisnet.com/APR and discover why the APR has been the choice of bloodstock and racing professionals for generations, and why a new generation is using APR online.
Well, the only Tisnow yearling and the recent Saratoga Sailor Preferred New York bred sold for $350,000. The two sold from the first crop by Tisnow's Grade 1 winning son, Gemologist, went for $170,000 and $92,000. Now, Gemologist is one of 13 Grade 1 winners by the big horse sire, Tisnow. His most recent stakes winner is Tis Shay D. He won the Grade 2 $500,000 Indiana Derby and is one of 8 2015 stakes winners for his Hall of Fame sire. Gemologist was undefeated at 2, concluding his 2-year-old season with a win in the Grade 2 Kentucky Jockey Club Stakes at Churchill, came back at 3 and won the Grade 1 Wood Memorial. That was his fifth consecutive win. His dam by the great Mr. Prospector produced 3 stakes winners, and the family's loaded with graded stakes winners. Look for more yearlings by Gemologist at the upcoming sales, and for more on the stallions at Windstar Farm, call Kyle Wilson or Sean Toole or Caroline Welch at 859-873-1717 and see the website at windstarfarm.com.
Now, back to the Thoroughbred Training Center in Ursulelis.
All right, Jackie.
All right. Back to me. Bluegrass Pony Club, not very scary mini trial and combined test. Sheffield Ridge Farm, Saturday, September 19th. There'll be cross-country schooling. This is a young one. This is D-level pony clubbers. The cross rails start out at 18 inches, walk trot classes, and this is fun. Grass reins allowed in first two divisions with permission. Now, if you don't know what grass rein is, that's where you tie a piece of string to the top of the horse's bridle, a pony usually, pull it back and tie it to the halt, to the saddle, so that the pony can't throw his head down and eat grass and pull the little kid over its neck. This is the wonderful kind of thing they're having. Greener than grass classes, all this kind of stuff's just great. That's September 19th at Sheffield Ridge.
Yeah, don't forget that you can buy posts and planks right here at the Thoroughbred Center now. Just call the, what's the number over here, Jackie?
293-1853.
Ask for Jim Pendergraft. They got plenty of posts and a few. And planks, and if you're doing some fencing, just give them a call. They take care of you. They do deliver.
Yeah, you can pick up
or you
deliver.
Can pick up your own, either way.
Okay. Today at Lakeside, Kentucky Reining Horse Association show. Adina Springs is tonight, the Paul's Party. I'm going to go whipping through here. Today at the Horse Park at Kentucky Hunter Jumper Association Horse Show in the covered arena and all around the place. 233-0492. Just go on out and you don't have to pay to get in this. When you get in, you're good. Next week is the Bluegrass Classic Dog Show. Two more Wednesdays for Summerbird. That's dressage training at the Masterson. Save the date for the Horses and Hope Trail Ride Sunday, September 13th. That's at the Horse Park. That's First Lady Jane Beshear has that for cancer awareness.
All righty.
Okay.
Okay, well, Breeders of Kentucky Bred Stakes winners over the past weekend. The $380,000 Breeder Stakes up at Woodbine went to Daisy Dinah Farmer, bred by Charles Fipke. It's a Dinah Farmer, of course. The Grade 1 Del Mar Oaks, a Fleet Alex won that. Inside the winner, Charlie Ray, and bred by Richard Castor and Frederick Weeding. The Grade 2 Adirondack, Just Wicked, the winner, by Tappet, bred by Winchell Thoroughbreds. Let's see here. The Grade 2 Four-Star Dave, a Grand Arch by Arch from Hunter Valley Farm and S. Helen. The Grade 3 Pucker Up, Ms. Money won that. That's a Mizzen Mass, bred by Bernie Flint, Ron Hillerich, and LTB Inc. Let's see, where else? $100,000 Arapahoe Derby went to Bourbon Sense, bred by J.S. McDonald, sired by Street Sense. $175,000 Governor's Cup at Remington Park,
Smack Smack by Closing Argument, bred by Dream Walking Farm. The Sun Sprint Championship Stakes in Canada went to Clear the Runway by Broken Vow, bred by Nolan Creek Farm. The Blue Sparkler Stakes at Monmouth Park winner, Joy Real by Eddington, bred by G.L. Zwirling. The Bonita Stakes at Gulfstream Park went to Sing Another Song by Song and a Prayer, bred by Herman Vanderbilt, trained by Ron Pellegrini, incidentally, a friend of mine. The Barber Shiprock Stakes at Emerald Downs went to Princess Kennedy by Sun King, bred by Mr. and Mrs. David A. Thorner. The Sonoma Handicap in Canada was won by Heroes Amour by Street Hero, bred by Young Quan Cho and June Park. The Bolton Landing Stakes at Saratoga on Wednesday went to Simply Surprise. That's a two-year-old colt by Cowboy Cal. He's undefeated in two starts, and he was bred by Winchell Thoroughbreds. The Greenfields Handicap on Wednesday at Del Mar. Holy Loot by Midnight Loot, bred by Lynn Schiff. And I said, well, that's it. How about that? Got through that. All righty. Got 8 minutes left. Good. Jackie can do another couple of you. You tapped out over there. All right. That's okay. Well, the only yearling from the first crop consigned to the just-concluded Saratoga Preferred Sale in New York, breds by Dominus, sold for $140,000. Superb individual, just like his sire, and he sold for some $50,000 more than the sales average. You'll have the opportunity to inspect more yearlings by Dominus at upcoming sales. And when you do, keep in mind that Dominus is a multiple-graded stakes winner with a great pedigree. Won the Grade 2 Dwyer at Belmont and won the Grade 2 Bernard Baruch at Saratoga. One on the dirt, the other on the grass. Sprinted 7 furlongs and won 22-2 at Saratoga and won 22-3 at Santa Anita the day he broke his maiden. He's by 2-time champion Sire Smart Strike and is out of Quando by Lord at War. Quando won her place in 9 stakes, 5 graded, earned over $329,000, and she's a half-sister to the multiple grade 1 winner, Honey Rider. Winner of over $2,700,000. Dominus stands at Spendthrift Farm. That's the Breeders' Farm, of course. And inquiries to Des Dempsey, Brian Lyle, or Mark Tuthacker at 859-294-0030. Ask about breeding incentives and about the possibility of breeding on Southern Hemisphere time. They don't miss a trick over there. And see the website, SpendthriftFarm.com.
Now, back to Horsetails with Ursel Ellis.
I got a minute or two. Let me see if I can find a real short one of these. How much time have I got left? 6 minutes. Can I read this in 6 minutes? I believe I can. If I hurry. This is written by Joe Palmer, and it's called Vice's Triumph. And the same mail brought a notice of a new motion picture named Under My Skin, presumably about racing, and a copy of a violent protest by the National Steeplechase and Hunt Association to the producers of this movie on the ground that it represented steeplechasing riders as crooked. To a man who's seen a good many racing movies, there was no great point to reading all the way through either the notice or the protest. This department will never see Under My Skin, having given up Jack Straws, Litter Blocks, the movies, and all drinks containing grenadine in that order. But I wonder if racing isn't a little oversensitive about the way it's handled in Hollywood.
Yeah.
There's no question it's handled badly. The question is whether anyone should mind. What isn't? The Triumph of Virtue over Vice is the only serious plot known to the motion picture industry. At least it was until I used to see William S. Hart discouraging the rustling of cattle, or Francis S. Bushman cutting down on the stretch turn by Raymond Navarro in Ben-Hur. If the movies have learned anything since, I think I would have heard about it. It isn't as if other professions fared any better. I seem to remember, a picture named The Strange Island of Dr. Monroe with Charles Laughton. And for that matter, there was Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. Both of them dealt with physicians who'd gone wrong. But I doubt if the American Medical Association have been justified in a protest that they portrayed the profession in a bad light. Consider the way the newspaper profession is delineated in the movies. I can't remember seeing a movie reporter who wasn't dissolute, irresponsible, and brilliant. Yet I know a good many who are merely dissolute and irresponsible. This is Joe Palmer, incidentally. The point is that there are only a few ways to complicate a racing story. Think of what a picture would be if it tried to show how Warren Wright won the Triple Crown with citations by spending all kinds of money on yearlings, by buying broodmares at excessive prices and paying any kind of price for the best trainer in the country. It would lack drama, wouldn't it? There has to be a villain. A very few gifted writers have managed racing stories without evil influences in the key race. John Tanner Fook did it in The Look of Eagles, a sentimental and yet appealing story. J.P. Marquard wrote my favorite racing story of them all, an item named What's It Get You? And, of course, there was National Velvet, which even got into the movies without damage. Personally, I've seen only one fixed race, one that I know was fixed beforehand, that is. That was a steeplechase down in Maryland a few years ago. And even in that, Virtue triumphed. There was an eagle bird in the race. You ought to know what an eagle bird is, but if you don't, it's an unfixed horse in a fixed race. This one was in the hands of a trainer who wouldn't stand for monkey business, and he was ridden by a jockey who was smart enough not to bet the rest of his life against an afternoon's game. The horse had bad knees, so the race was fixed without him on the theory that he couldn't win anyway. Well, the fix was going good up until the last race, but there the eagle bird, bad knees and all, scrambled over on even terms and beat the elected horse in the flat run to the finish. The jockey on the fix was suspended that afternoon, and a little later racing officials, in conjunction with police, set a trap which caught the rest of the voters, and now they're down for life. So much for fixes. If we could get the same percentage of honesty in the legislature and Congress that we do at Jamaica, we'd have a government against which the waves of communism would break unavailingly. There's another side to this, too. A prominent official once remarked, if we could convince everybody that this game is on the level, we'd go out of business. It was said facetiously, but the man knew what he was talking about. There will be, lining up at the windows all this season, a considerable number of citizens who hope the fourth race has been tampered with and that they're in on the right side of it. There is also the question of unemployment, not serious during the war, but of growing importance now. A quite responsible number of not very respectable persons make a living selling larceny, and you would be surprised to know how many reputable businessmen can be separated from actual cash at the sight of a battery which will never appear on any racetrack, but is represented as being the causative agent for an upset victory at Charlestown. Well, if some people aren't persuaded, how would our hustlers live? As written by Joe Palmer, one of my all-time favorite writer. You mentioned John Tanner Foote, but anyway, that was he was also one of my favorite writers. Once again, winners from the training center who won last week, since the show from last week, Juan Rubalcaba, Matt Frazier, Laura Bielmer, Tommy Short, Maria Pinzon, Pavel Mateshka, Marco Castaneda, Chuck Hamilton, Tim Wilson, Paul Garcia, and Luis Jurado. All right, that music means that's Roy and,
Dale.
Roy and Dale singing Ta-Ta.
Happy Trails.
Happy Trails. Stay tuned now for Cameron Mills, and we'll talk to you next week.
Who cares about the clouds when we're together?